we have as an industry, you know, this is 32 years for me, we've got a great relationship with vendors and we've got a bad relationship with buyers in general, I should say. However, you know, that's because you've got a one-to-one relationship with the seller and you've got a one-to-many with buyers.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. With thanks to our partner Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To get access to all of Elite Agent's premium resources, including a detailed episode guide for this podcast, visit joineliteagent.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of today's show. My guest today is REI New South Wales president and Realtair founder, Peter Matthews. For more than 30 years, Peter has served the real estate industry in a variety of roles, including as a trainer, franchise owner, auctioneer, agent, and now PropTech founder. So Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Samantha. It's a pleasure of mine to be here.
Awesome, awesome. And congratulations. I think this is the first time we've chatted since you took on the role of President of the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you. It's I've been on the board for a number of years and I've been Leanne's VP for 4 years. So I'm kind of, I knew what I was getting myself into, but I now actually have a greater comprehension of what an incredible job that Leanne Pilkington did as president for 4 years. Absolutely amazing. But I'm really loving the role at the moment. It's been great.
They are very big, sparkly shoes to fill.
Yeah, they definitely are. Don't quite have the same wardrobe for shoes or for other bits of fashion. I'm actually sporting a pink shirt. Normally I'm just a blue and white, so I'm expanding my horizons.
That's great to hear. And I mean, look, yeah, you mentioned Leanne then, and she had a hell of a few years to be president, and I think she's even got the T-shirt and the coffee cup. But you took on the role in November, just as there was sort of starting to be a bit of a light at the end of the COVID tunnel, and now you're navigating another crisis in the wake of widespread flooding in New South Wales. So what are some of the major issues you're hearing about from the industry at the moment?
Look, I mean, the floods are—it's just such a tragic circumstance, and it's one of those things that we had an extraordinary board meeting yesterday, in fact, just to talk about what it is that we can do from the REI perspective to not just assist members and their communities, but also to bring awareness to what they're going through. And I did a couple of interviews of some of our members that are in affected areas as well, which we're sharing with our membership this week, just so they can understand that this is not just a you know, flooding and temporary issue. It's a much, much bigger issue. You know, you've got townships that have been basically wiped out, which, you know, impacts on, you know, a whole series of things, not just those people, but their homes and their lives. And this is going to be a good number of years because there's infrastructure that, you know, over $100 million needs to be reinvested into the Byron Shires, just as an example. And, I mean, you look at the impact, flow-on effect of that, and then just look at our members for just a short period of time, and you say, well, agents have been wiped out. Their ability to earn income on you know, managing rental properties, they don't have those properties anymore. They now have also got displaced tenants and owners that they're going to try and find properties for, sales that were made, and the domino effect of people who were selling to buy something else, the financial impact on that, and then, of course, the you know, the most probably the most, I don't know, it'll be long-term thing will be the, I guess, the mental sort of price on all of this is who knows how deep that's going to be. So we're just trying to find any way we can to bring awareness to the membership and find a way to be able to communicate clearly with members and their customers to find the best way to deal with this crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. You touched on the, you know, the mental issues there. And one of the other things I wanted to chat to you about too is the last couple of years have been particularly tough on property managers. And we're hearing a lot about property managers leaving the industry. And I think every second person says to me, you know, that they're looking for people and people are so hard to find. How is the REI New South Wales working to support, you know, more people coming into the industry? Is that a priority for you?
Yeah, it's a huge priority. Any priority for our members is a priority of the REI. You know, I guess from our standpoint, we need to bring awareness to, I guess, what it means to be a property manager from a career perspective. But look, let's be honest, it is a really, really tough job. And whilst there's been some terrific technology changes that have assisted in, I guess, the communication around that job and creating the capacity for property managers to manage more properties, it hasn't lightened the load. But we've actually, even in our training, even our discussions with government around, you know, supporting people to jump into real estate and consider property management as a career, because there has been such a huge turnover. So at all levels, you know, at a membership level, talking with principals from a training perspective and also from a government perspective, we're looking at ways that we can help out with that.
In recent news as well, John Minns was appointed Property Commissioner for New South Wales. Are you working closely with him now as well?
Yeah, I met with John a couple of times. I'm thrilled at John's appointment, because I think there's no point kind of hiding the obvious. We've had some issues with our regulator, and you know, some that's been quite public. I think probably what John brings to the table is, you know, a very clear real estate understanding. And John and I have had several conversations, as he has with Tim, our CEO at the REI, and it's very clear that there's, you know, somebody, I guess, on the inside that kind of can translate, I guess, some of the issues that are impacting agents directly, deeply and internally into fair trading. So I think that will only improve the relationship between the REI and fair trading. John's a terrific guy. He's a really smart guy, but also too, you know, he's just got to navigate on the political side within fair trading. But I think that's going to be beneficial for the industry to have him in that role.
He's got so much experience there. We can only hope that it sort of, you know, benefits everybody and is a big win-win.
Yeah, no, I'm confident it definitely will, because the sort of three or four conversations we've had, we're all talking about the same thing, talking about how we can collectively resolve, you know, some of the differences between consumers, agents, and the regulator. And, you know, there's some bigger, longer term solutions that we can work towards, but we can start on that today. And there's some other quick wins that we're working on as well. So I think collectively we'll have an improvement, that's for sure.
You know, when an American president comes in and starts his, you know, presidency, there's always he always gives the first 100 days speech, you know, of what the goals are in the first 100 days. I think we might be slightly out of your 100 days, but I'm just wondering, you know, like, what are your other goals for your presidency? Like, what's on your mind?
I've probably got three primary things. Number one is around transparency in particularly the sales transaction process. If you look at if you ask fair trading, in fact, if you asked any regulator around the state and said, look, what's the biggest problem that agents can assist the regulator with? And that's sort of around transparency in the transaction. We have, as an industry, you know, this is 32 years for me, we've got a great relationship with vendors and we've got a bad relationship with buyers in general, I should say. However, you know, that's because you've got a one-to-one relationship with the seller and you've got a one-to-many with buyers. So finding ways to improve the transparency in the transaction, utilising technology in order to do that, but equally to working with the regulator around a lot of, I guess, having a deeper understanding, providing them with a deeper understanding as to what agents actually do, because I would say most of the time, and I mean like in the very high 90s, agents are doing the right thing, and those that aren't don't either realise. I don't think that agents go out deliberately to create issues and manipulate the situation, but that's one thing, is providing transparency in the sales transaction process. The other thing is that, which relates to this, is the education and professionalism of agents, which, you know, Leanne lobbied, you know, with the team at the REI very, very strongly for changes to educational requirements. And John Cunningham, the president prior to Leanne, you know, has been very focused on the path of professionalism. I think that can be addressed in a different way. I think one of the things that we need to look at first is, before we decide to take a step up, is that we need to be very clear on where we are now, making sure that those foundations are crystal clear, particularly around ethics, because that relates to my first point. But I think that you know, we've got to do a much better job from from our end as an industry body to ensure that we've got more members. We've got membership at a company level where you can become an individual member within that company structure. But we're looking at actually having an individual membership structure that's quite clear, because then at least we can start to ensure that members individually are aware of what it means to be a member and their obligations beyond their fiduciary responsibilities to consumers. And I think once we've kind of, we get over that first hurdle, I think then we can start looking at more seriously how we can improve that and start that real sensitive and important journey to the path of professionalism. The third thing for me is quite personal. I have a daughter with a disability and she uses a wheelchair and she's turning 21, which I haven't heard the end of it in about a month. I hear about it every day, dresses, news, all those things. And, you know, we have a strata apartment and the strata committee is refusing to provide access. And, you know, I think that whilst new buildings have got council requirements around accessibility, is that existing strata properties do not. In fact, there is no reference at all to accessibility within the current Strata Act. So the only recourse for anybody who does require access, and you know, everybody deserves, you know, that basic right to be able to access your own property. I've been working with the REI team and also talking to government about reforms around the Strata Act that does refer to accessibility. And, you know, where possible, it's not always going to be possible, but where possible, I think that's just an important, you know, first human function for equality for people with disabilities. And as we're in an aging population, and I think that's only going to become more important. So that's a bit more of a personal crusade, but they're my three major focuses for the next couple of years.
I did not know that about the, you know, the accessibility thing. I can't believe in this day and age it's, you know, not just a given.
And look, to be part of that too, that is incredibly frustrating. If you look at the Strata Act, anybody can be on a body corporate. There's no requirement to be a fit and proper person. And I must say, without naming my particular strata, to be told by, you know, somebody who's on the committee, number one, we should have thought about our access and that access before we bought the property. We didn't buy it for that purpose. It's just happened that that's now may become a property for our daughter to reside in. Secondly, to be told, well, she should just carry her own ramp around is just sheer stupidity. And I think the thing is that anybody dealing in strata, and hats off to strata managers and property managers, because that's a really, really tough job dealing with a series of owners. And, you know, you've got people who are in positions of power that can restrain, you know, the ability of people to live, you know, in quiet enjoyment, and access is a pretty basic principle.
I wish you good luck with that one, because I've been on the wrong side of a few strata committees myself. So yep. A shake-up is probably well overdue.
Oh, it is. It is. But if you can do it through legislation, that makes it a lot easier. But look, you just imagine, Samantha, if you had, you know, if people who were on the strata committee actually had to qualify for that role, rather than just, you know, somebody gets it by, I want to be involved because I want to dictate what happens in the strata environment. Wasn't meant to be that way. It's just become that way, unfortunately.
Let's talk a little bit about Realtair. Let's switch hats now. So for those people that aren't familiar, because you guys have been in the news a fair bit lately, can you give us a brief insight into Realtair and where it sits in the PropTech landscape?
I didn't set out to be a founder of a tech company at all. We had a real estate business. We had three offices and we had a centralized administration hub. Realtair was created out of frustration. We just couldn't find a tech platform that could take us from prospecting right through to settlement, and also not have to replace all our incumbent systems. So Realtair is a middleware platform in the sales transaction space that deals with everything, as I said, from prospecting through to settlement. We've got three core products, which is around pitch, sign, sell. Pitch is all about digital prospecting and creating digital proposal documentation. Sign is all about digital signatory execution, contracts, agency agreements, and everything in between. In fact, we have a product called Sign Anything inside of that, which means you can sign anything. And then we also have Sell, which used to be called Auction Now, which, you know, we acquired that from Damien Cooley, who did an incredible job in building that. But we never intended it to be what it was during COVID. So whilst we looked like it was a really really wise decision. It was just circumstance and coincidence, to be honest. We really wanted to have a platform that could extend on our signatory area that allowed the transaction of all types of properties, not just auctions. And Sell allows that, from exchanging contracts and receiving deposits and even collecting vendor bank account details and doing all that securely, all in one place. So that's where we operate. We have about just over 10,000 customers across the country.
Yeah, amazing. And so you started the business in 2016. What was it like starting up? Well, you know, when things were normal, in inverted commas, what was the startup phase like for you?
When we started, we thought we'd just build a bit of tech, and once that's been built, that would be it. It took us several years to refine that and define exactly what it is that we were doing, because we were solving a problem for our own business. But that quickly turned into something that we realized could, particularly from my experience as being a franchisor for probably about 10 or 12 years, that we had the same problems as everybody else. And whilst there's nuances in between, different states, the reality is that sales transactions are very, very similar nationally. And it was that realization then that we decided to build our own platform. So we operated on a project management system before that, and then we turned it into tech, and then, the rest is history. It's been a really interesting journey.
So these days you've partnered up with some pretty big players in the real estate industry, including REA. How did you work on integrating with so many different people, and what do they allow you to do now?
Well, the platform that we've created allows us to integrate with anyone. We've got an open API, so we've got a whole range of different integrations with CRMs, marketing platforms like Decrit and others, and also data providers and payment platforms. And we're open to integrating with anyone. In fact, we've built the platform on that basis, because I guess any system that we can talk to that adds value to the agent process is who we're interested in serving. We also integrate with REA, who's also a partner in Realtair, and what that's allowed us to do is to access their PropTrack data, which also gives us real-time demand data from their site, which we can populate to our proposals in pitch for all our customers. And in that partnership with REA as well, it's given us an opportunity to put our products together in a package called Connect, which means that agents who sign up to Connect get access to PropTrack data, which is great. They get access to Agent Elevate, which is the improved profiling on the REA site. They get pitch for their digital proposals, and they get signed for all of their electronic signing in that package. And that, obviously, with the package, there's a package price that comes with that as well, which is really appealing for agents. And it's been a major part of our growth nationally, which has been terrific.
That would be really handy, because you could just, is it like a one-stop shop almost?
Yeah, look, I think that if you kind of look at where we are as an industry, we have to move forward into a digital space. Whilst there's fear of being, that technology is going to replace what we do, agency business is all about relationships. And it's that personal relationship that we've got to enhance. And the way to do that is to improve the efficiency and pace at which we can operate. And as I said earlier, just improve the transparency, because I think the consumer expectation, particularly over these last 2 years, is that, as an industry, that we should provide access to digital platforms. And whether that's, in the receipt of a digital proposal, or it's the execution of a digital contract, or checking in digitally at an open for inspection, like, it's an expectation of the consumer. And I always have this slide. I don't know who came up with this phrase, but I pinched it, where, technology won't replace agents, but agents who don't embrace technology will be replaced. And I was only talking to a customer this morning who, just said, look, it's the ones that don't embrace this will be the ones that get left behind, and that's probably not a bad thing. It gives us a chance to renew as an industry, and they sort of looked at it very positively in that way, which I agree with.
Yeah, I think that you've mentioned transparency a couple of times now, and I think, that's something that consumers just are really demanding as well at the moment, whether it's, I think all the secrets agents used to keep are probably out in the open now, aren't they?
Yeah, and I don't even know that, to be fair, that there was in a, like there was ever any treasure trove of secrets at agents to keep up their sleeve or anything. But what it was is just a very unclear, like you can imagine if you're a buyer and you walked into an agency and you dealt with a particular salesperson in that brand and you wanted to make an offer on a property and they would say, this is how we do it. You could then speak to another agent in the same business and they do it differently. And that's very confusing for a buyer. And I think that, you know, when you look at transparency, it's an expectation, but you know, the digital process provides an opportunity to have a not necessarily a single, but at least a consistent way that agents deal with consumers. And I think that that's where we've got to look to embrace technology, and whether that just starts with the simple stuff around the digital execution of contracts or the receipting of deposits, or it is in the whole management of the offer process. It's just important that technology plays that role because it will provide a consistent, uniform experience. And most importantly, it'll be something that a buyer will be able to rely upon. And I think ultimately that will have an impact on the relationship that we have with our community.
Like, I guess just to round this out a bit, from your perspective as both president of the REI and as a prop tech founder, where do you see the industry in 10 years' time?
Oh, geez, that's a huge
question. Yeah,
it is a huge question. Look, where do I see it, or where would I like to see it? I guess where I'd like to see it is in a position where, you know, that the adoption of technology is not something that is a challenging thing. It's always a little bit hard when you go through a change management process, and as an industry, we haven't really evolved as fast as we should have. And I think that if we don't do these things, that our industry there will be a whole series of other industry risking platforms that will arrive. If you look what's happened in the US, you've got iBuyers, who some agents may not even know in Australia that they exist. You've got other things called power buyers, and that whole focus for them is about tech and providing an easier way for buyers and sellers to transact, which may or may not include agents. So I guess what I'd like to see in the next 10 years is, a very clear embracement of technology to improve the efficiency and the transparency in the process, but also to give agents the flexibility of being able to manage their time better and make the decision, you know, where do I put that investment that I've just now created in time? Do I put that, you know, back into my business in terms of, you know, lead generation? Do I put that, you know, back into, you know, my personal time or my family time, and get a better work-life balance around that? I think that will certainly not impact negatively at all the experience that agents provide in the current sales transaction process. In fact, I think it'll do the opposite of that. It'll actually really have a positive impact.
Recently, you were involved in Zoomathon. With us at 33 hours of craziness for Hands Across the Water. And you talked about some of the things that were coming up, including, you know, things like Web3 and non-fungible tokens and stuff like that. What sort of a role do you think they will play in the industry coming up? Should we be looking at them or not bothering with them?
I think it's important to look at all of these things. To look at what the next 10 years looks like, you go back to where we were 10 years ago, and there was a lot of things that were, you know, the next biggest things that were coming and that were going to make massive impacts. I think it's important to be aware of those things, and you never really know which one is the best to bet on, but it's worthwhile just having a very general understanding. And when you look at things like the metaverse and all those sort of things, there's some big money that's been paid for digital property, in inverted commas. And I find that quite, amazing, but also really, really interesting. So I've got a deep curiosity around anything that impacts the property industry and anything that's new like that. Like Leanne was talking about NFTs and things like that as well. Like, I didn't even know what that was, but I've got a friend of mine that gets involved in that. And I just think that that's a fascinating new way of technology entering our lives. And I just keep enough, a little bit involved, so I know a little bit about it, but I don't see anything like even AI. AI has been a big thing for a number of years. We really haven't seen the impact directly on, you know, the transactional process or even the property management space yet, but I do think that that will play a bigger role over the next 10 years. And that hopefully will just improve the consumer experience between agents and tenants and agents and landlords and agents and buyers and sellers, which I think is going to be really positive.
Exciting times we live in, for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what the next 10 years looks like, but I don't have a very fixed view on what that is because things move so fast in this space. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I know, right? It's amazing. Well, Peter, I'd like to thank you for chatting with us today, both with both hats on, from your role as REI New South Wales president, and also about the prop tech stuff and what Realtair are up to. If there was one piece of advice or one thing that you could leave everyone with today, what would it be?
It would be this. It's a quote from a trainer who had the most impact on my career early, a Ray White trainer called Miff Porter. And she would say, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always had. And, you know, I think that if we're not in the mindset of curiosity and change, then, you know, we become redundant in everything that we do. And I think that that's a really, I've lived by that. And I always remember it. I want to thank Miff Porter for it because it's really helped me guide my career and certainly my decision making. And I know you probably don't want me to say this, but I also just want to say what you guys did for the Zoomathon, by the way, was outstanding. To be involved in that and be able to create, and make a big difference to those kids is just incredible. So thanks for your contribution to that.
Thank you. I've still got the bags under my eyes. I need still need some sleep, but thank you.
All worth it, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as I said, it's been fantastic talking to you. Just actually one last question because, you know, we've already had sort of one last question, but one more. There's always room for one more. Yeah. Realtair in the next 12 months, what do you think we'll see from Realtair?
I think what you will see in the next 12 months is what you'll see from perpetuity, and that's just continual change and adding value to our products and services. You know, our three primary products, pitch, sign and sell, we look at everything with the view of how does it add value to the agent at the dining table? And then also how does that have an impact with the consumer? We've actually got someone in the company who all that they do now is look at how our products and services, which we provide to agents, actually have an impact on the consumer. So I think that's probably something that's going to be quite new for our agency customers to see is, and they might, and when I say see, they probably won't see it directly unless they engage with their platform as a consumer. But I think that's a really big thing is because, you know, I guess we've put an obligation to agents to continually improve the platform, which we always do. We should be proud of what we've done today, but, you know, tomorrow we should be, you know, dissatisfied with what we've got because we've just got to continually improve, even if it's incrementally. But I do think the space that Realtair can play in providing value for agents to consumers will be something particularly in the next 12 months that agents and their customers will get a lot of great value out of.
Yeah, amazing. Well, we look forward to seeing what you do in the next 12, 24 months. Peter Matthews, thank you so much.
Thanks, Samantha. Really appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to get access to all of Elite Agent's premium resources, including a detailed episode guide for this podcast. Visit joineliteagent.com.